Leafs Converts Hockey World, what is up? This is the Leafs Convo Podcast. My name is Norman James. Happy Columbus Day to our American listeners, all two of you. I'm going to find out what that actually means. Michael Piaggiello is going to enlighten me. Happy Canadian Thanksgiving to our Canadian listeners. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have a podcast. How about that game in Chicago last night? What was it, 10-9? Fire wagon hockey. It's fun to watch for us, but not for the head coach. Mike's ready to pod. I am too. What do you say? Let's go. The Leafs Convo starts right now. And here he is, the beautiful, the one and only, Michael Piaggiello. Hello, sir.
I don't know how beautiful I am. Jeez. Good morning, Norman.
It's Monday in Western New York. It's always a beautiful thing.
It's Columbus Day here, and happy Thanksgiving to all the listeners in Canada.
Well, thank you very much. So what's Columbus Day all about? I don't know. I should know.
It's a day off from work. It's a national holiday. So a day off from work for federal employees and for banks, mm-hmm. and the U.S. Postal Service, and mm-hmm. acknowledging the discovery of America by Christopher Columbus. Ah. Although he didn't even land on the mainland, it was in the West Indies.
What do we call that game in Chicago, Michael? Fire wagon, barn burner,
tire fire.
The Leafs getting it done, and you know, right now, game three, I just want to see them collect as many points as they possibly can.
Ironically, it's like, I'm not saying that I have clairvoyant tendencies, but I the way that the teams were scoring in the first period, I says the way this game is going, it's going to end up 7-6, and Mike Babcock should stock up on his Pepto-Bismol. Well, it ended up 7-6, and I'm sure he's looking for coupons right now.
Mike, you are a master, though. I mean, I was just telling my wife yesterday, the two people I have to kiss up to, my wife and you, one to keep the podcast going, and two to keep the podcast going. Yeah, exactly. But no, I was telling her last night, like, you know your stuff. You're the best in the business, and I wouldn't be surprised if you did make that prognostication. Michael, the things that we expected from this team, or you know, that we, the extremes, mm-hmm. have already come to light. Austin Matthews is. He's just ridiculous. John Tavares, equally ridiculous. Morgan Riley. I mean, there's a guy, who knows, he could be in the conversation for a Norris. All these guys that we expected greatness from have produced so far. And the things that we expected problems from, mm-hmm. they're giving us problems. They're giving the team problems. They're giving the head coach problem, Mr. Pepto-Bismol. Michael, why is it that the world shouts the Leafs will have defensive problems from the rooftops? And the Leafs hear that. And then they come out and show that, you know, their deficiencies on defense are exactly what everybody thought they'd be. Why? Why can't they defy the odds?
Well, first of all, it's like this morning when I'm going to be writing my column for Hockey Buzz pretty soon. And the line that popped into my head was the old Dennis Green line. They are who we thought they were. And that can be applied to the Leafs. Offensively, they're brilliant. I mean, you know, seven goals, and you know, they were sleeping in the first half of the first period, and then Babcock switches Kapanen into the number one line with Marleau and Matthews, and all of a sudden two goals, and it's right back in, and Tavares with the hat trick, and Matthews with his brilliant 4-point performance. But defensively, they're a train wreck, and that's overstating it slightly, but not really. A team that has a one goal lead in the third period, you know, you're going to give up that 6-on-5 goal every once in a while. They did it twice in the last minute and a half of the third period. That's inexcusable. And, you know, part of that has to be blamed on the defense. Part of it has to be blamed on Garrett Sparks, who I did not think was strong in his first game. But all the concerns going into the season, offensively, no concern, even without William Nylander. Did you even miss William Nylander yesterday? No, they scored seven goals. But defensively, Gardner made a couple bad giveaways. They put Martin Marincin in there. I don't think he was particularly strong. They're just playing this wide open fire wagon hockey. And if you remember, Norm, at the beginning of last year, their season opener against the Rangers, it was 8-5. They had like a 5-1 or 5-2 lead. The Rangers came back, and then they ended up winning at 8-5. That was the sort of wide open hockey that you get at the beginning of the season. But you really, and they'll tighten up, and everybody will tighten up. But this team needs to play more responsible defensively throughout the year to win the division and to get far in the playoffs. And right now they're not doing it.
The Leafs in a fire wagon show of excellence will win 60% of their games, 65%. They'll beat most teams. If it was all about fire wagon hockey from now until game 82, the Leafs would have 115 points. Once you get into the playoffs, it's a different story. So we all know that. We don't have to keep repeating that. That's just a given. The question now is, how does Mike Babcock get this process, this game under control and start moving forward in a responsible manner, even if that means dialing back some of the offense? Guys like Matthews and Tavares. I mean, Tavares, he's like a two-way player anyway in a lot of ways. I mean, he's really good. But are you going to ask these guys now to start dialing back what brought them to the dance in order to compensate for glaring holes on a defensive unit that, you know, are just obvious? They need support. So what does he do now, Mike? I mean, what is the game plan for Mike Babcock? Because you're going to be robbing Peter to pay Paul. You're going to be taking away from one strong suit in order to, you know, fill a real, you know, difficult spot for the team.
You're not going to ask them to dial it back because right now the other teams are playing that sort of wide open, undisciplined, as you called it, fire wagon hockey. As long as they're doing that, then, you know, you bring out your guns, they bring out their guns, and whoever wins the gunfight wins. And last night it was the Leafs, you know, getting the final laugh, you know, less than 20 seconds or 30 seconds into overtime. But, you know, I'm just looking at the big picture. And as the year went along last year, they tightened up defensively because they had to, because their opposition did. And it's going to be tougher to shut down the Leafs with Matthews and Tavares, you know, 1-2 combo. You know, Tavares scores a hat trick, Matthews scores two. And it was really funny. I listened to the broadcast on the NHL Network, and Jim Houston said something about the Leafs' core players, you know, matching what the, you know, what the Blackhawks were doing, because I think Taves had 5 goals, you know, in like on 10 shots, you know, in the first 3 games of the season. And I'm like, right now, if you look at who has scored, it's all the Leafs' core players. It's Marner, mm-hmm. it's Matthews, it's Tavares, Morgan Rielly with 2 goals. The only guy who you can consider secondary offense is Kasperi Kapanen scoring that 1 goal. Other than that, it is the core guys. And I think you have to be a little bit concerned about the secondary guys not producing. And right now they're getting away with it because Tavares and Matthews are blowing up. But eventually you're going to need guys like Kadri and the Andreas Janssens of the world to start picking in goals.
Mike Babcock's going to sort it all out. And he's not going to let the tertiary players, the support players, get away with a free ride or a free lunch. He made a comment. I mean, he didn't seem like he was particularly happy with Garrett Sparks' effort. I mean, Garrett Sparks, for as much as, you know, the millennial fan out there looks at him as, again, he's, you know, a sympathetic figure. He's paid his dues. He deserves to be on the team. You don't deserve anything, my young friends. You don't deserve anything. You got to earn it. And you have to earn the respect of the coach, whether he's gruff and he seems oppressive. It doesn't matter. He is the coach, and he is the leader of this team. You have to serve him. If you don't like it, don't play team sports. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
Garrett Sparks is going to have to get his shit together. And the other thing too is, look, you can't expect your all world talent, the guys who take this team to the next level, to regress and put it in reverse to let everybody else catch up. I mean, you've got to stay the course. You've got to keep the pace that guys like Matthews and Tavares are setting, and you're going to be okay. But right now, there are a lot of players on this team that are not working in sync, and it's only game 3, Mike.
Right.
Hey, you want to win a championship? You're going to be under the microscope from, you know, minute one. You know.
Well, I'm you know, first with the goaltending situation, you know, it would be strange if Babcock had said something supportive about Garrett Sparks based on allowing 6 goals. Now, that being said, he wasn't responsible for every single one of them. The Taves tip in was, you know, I don't think anybody would have stopped that. And a couple of the other goals were really nice, but you know, the 2 goals with late in the game where the game is on the line, you know, even if they're through screens, you've got to find a way to stop them. And, you know, the Brandon Manning goal, you know, again, that picked the corner, he was screened. But anyway, I would say, you know, at least 3 of the 6 goals were stoppable, and he needs to stop that. And, you know, I know that the organization will be eagerly watching the waiver wire if Calvin Pickard or if Curtis Macklin to get placed on waivers because they can put them with the Marlies. And I'm telling you right now, if Spark, you know, remember the window for Babcock's frustration with Jonas Enroth was 4 games. That mm-hmm. was it. You know, I don't know whether he wanted or was forced or decided that Sparks was the guy. But if Sparks doesn't play well in 3 or 4 games and they get back McElhinney or Pickard on waivers, you're going to see one of those guys called up. And I don't know if Sparks will be placed on waivers or if there will be an injury or if they'll carry 3 goaltenders. Mm-hmm. But with this team being a contender, Babcock is not going to stand for the backup goaltender costing them points, and he almost cost them points last night in his first game.
Michael, you're the omniscient one. This is the Leafs Convo, Norman James, with the one and only Michael P. Augello. Garrett Sparks is he's a company guy, right, Mike? I mean, he's a homegrown guy. He's a player that the Leafs have invested a lot of time in. And they've brought to the press of, you know, one level of hockey. He's AHL goaltender of the year, backstopped the team to a Calder Cup championship. He's graduated from that level. The problem now is, where is he graduating to? And I can understand the Leafs' hesitation of putting him on waivers, considering everything that they've invested in him, mm-hmm. compared to Curtis McElhinney, who's tenured and just kind of a journeyman goaltender. I can understand that. The Leafs do have a dilemma here. I mean, you've developed this guy to a point. What are you going to get out of him? The question now is, what is he going to give you? This isn't about, well, you know, Mike Babcock put him in a terrible situation or nice to him or, he's not getting the support he deserves. No, this is all about Garrett Sparks, man. Put on the damn pads, get in the net and stop the puck. Now, while we're expecting him to raise his level, the guys in front of him aren't playing too well either. So we may have to pause any fatal criticism mm-hmm. of Garrett Sparks until this team can batten down the hatches defensively. In the meantime, I mean, you're going to have a bit of an uncertain goaltending situation, a volatile defensive situation, and some of the best offensive talent this league has ever seen. Carrying the day. I look at every game that the Leafs have coming up as winnable. How are they going to get these wins? And we're at a point now where we want to see complete hockey.
The thing is that, and you have, we, you know, as fans and media members and observers of the Leafs have to be cognizant of the fact that, you know, offense, even brilliant offense, it sort of cures all ills and it covers up other problems. But in the end, you know, when it gets down to the end of the season and to the playoffs, you're not going to score 7 goals. You're not going to be able to cover up defensive mistakes with your offense. And right now I get it. You know, 7 goals and the brilliance of Tavares and the brilliance of Matthews and Mitch Marner doing his thing and Morgan Riley scoring a couple goals. I mean, it's all great. It's all entertaining. And I'm sure fans are eating it up. But if you're looking at the team objectively and looking at what is necessary for them to win when it counts, there are warning signs and concerns. You know, the Sparks thing, you got to give him a bigger sample size. I'm not sure if the coach will give him a bigger sample size, but that will play out. On defense, Jake Gardner last night, another couple bad giveaways.
Every time Jake Gardner coughs up the puck, I think of you, Mike. Such a nice sentiment.
Well, yeah, and I didn't tweet it out, but I saw a video snippet of that sort of 100-yard stare of Gardner after the, I think it was the DeBrinket's goal. I mean, it was one of the goals in the first period where he was on the ice. And there was, you know, the camera panned to him and it was just this, you know, like sort of deer in the headlights look. I'm not criticizing him for that because he's actually a good offensive player, but just that look, I flashed back to Game 7 against Boston. It's like, I don't know how somebody as brilliant offensively as he is can be so bad in his own zone. And it just, I don't think it's getting any better. So Basically he's a double-edged sword. You're going to have to take what you get out of him and what you get from him offensively and defensively, but they also need other players to sort of step up their game to cover up for that. And I actually think Zaitsev hasn't played terribly so far, but Hainsey doesn't look to be the same defenseman that he was last year. And, you know, Martin Marincin, being inserted for Ozaganov, I think what we're going to see is that rotation like we saw last year. I think Justin Hall will probably get in there at some point during this road trip, and Ozaganov will get in back in against Dallas. So I think that was thankfully it didn't kill them in terms of a loss, but Marincin is not a guy you can play all the time.
Rest assured, Mike, this Gardner narrative that he's terrible, it's just a hoax set up by the Democrats. I'll have to do another video explaining why we should all hail the president. Before we go, Mike, this defense, it needs to be overhauled.
Yeah, I mean, and you made the point about some players like Andreas Janssen. This is a player who Babcock was trying to put the light the fire under him during the exhibition season and continue to say that. And this year, I don't think has been close to the same player that played last year. So, the Marlies have a number of forwards who could be recalled. And, if Janssen continues to do that, then I think you're going to see that. But one last thing about, the whole William Nylander thing, I think the one thing, maybe when Tyler Ennis was playing on that top line, the Nylander camp was feeling good about themselves in terms of, well, they miss us. Tyler Ennis is nowhere close to being William Nylander. Well, Ennis was moved to where we thought he was going to play, which is the third or fourth line. And when they put Kapanen up there, they scored two goals in a couple minutes. Kapanen stays on that number one line. That's not good news for the leverage that the Nylander camp has, because I think Kapanen could score fairly regularly, and that will decrease the leverage and the need for William Nylander. Right. So maybe we see that something shake loose in the next week or so.
SDA, Bracco, I was about to call him Sammy Kapanen. Remember when Darcy Tucker laid him out and then 2 seconds later, Roenick scored on Belfour?
Oh, yes.
William Nylander, his services aren't essential to the Maple Leafs anymore. And that's the thing. They have offense in spades, Michael. They have a surplus in talent up front. They do. I mean, I'd love to see William Nylander on the team, but he'll add his 29 goals or whatever, and it'll just be gravy. I mean, it's not like, William Nylander is the Jonathan Toews of this era, and or the Patrice Bergeron of this era. The longer these guys hold out, the less leverage I believe they have. The Leafs don't need William Nylander they're not hurting for offense. So play the game now, and the game will pay you later.
William Nylander is an asset that the Leafs have to take care of, in the sense that he may not be indispensable in terms of the offense that he provides, like you were saying, but they need to get him signed. They need to get him under control. And if Kyle Dubas deems a year or two down the road that he is expendable to get the defenseman that we know that they need, then they need to get him on a contract that other teams will be attracted to. I think in the end, that's what's going to end up happening. But right now, in the immediate future, it's getting him signed to an amount that makes sense, and playing out the year and maybe getting yourself a defenseman or two before the deadline. But I think in the end, William Nylander is not part of this core in 2 or 3 years.
Fix the effing defense, Mike. I got to get out of here. I've got turkey to eat.
Thanks, Norman.
That's a wrap for this edition of the Leafs Convo podcast. Short and sweet from the intro and extra perspective. I've got Thanksgiving to attend, more turkey to eat. The tryptophan doesn't put me out. I wish it did. At Mike in Buffalo, at the Leafs Convo, at Norman James TLC. That's how you can get at us on social media. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, please and thank you. Also follow us and listen to us on iTunes. For Michael P., I'm NJ. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.